as an experience that I had with God about 2 weeks before this fall camp meeting, when God visited me. And God caused me to understand some things in that time, and I feel ashamed tonight. This will happen in your church, it will happen in your life, this will happen in everyone in this building, there's no doubt about it, you can guarantee it. I want you to turn to Ezekiel 43, we'll be reading some passages from there tonight. My confidence in the Holy Ghost, that He would open up your hearts and that He would make whatever words are spoken applicable to your spirit. I have absolutely no confidence in myself. None. What God's going to do, you're going to see man. You're going to see man disappear. When God comes, you're not going to see man. You think you hear testimonies? God is going to testify. The Holy One is going to testify. He's going to give His testimony. He's going to give His own testimony. Now, we hear testimonies of men. That's all fine. But there's coming a time when God Himself is going to give a testimony. And we won't be tired of that testimony. God has been stirring me for some time. I've been really bothered about a lot of things. See, I don't got any notes tonight. God's going to give it to me as I talk. I've been bothered by a lot of things. I've been bothered by what I see out there. I've been bothered what I see in the church. I've been bothered what I see here. And I've been bothered by what I see here. And I've been crying out to God to change these things, to do something, to move, to intervene. I saw God do some things in Hawaii. If you follow two instructions, sought God 2-3 hours a day, I watched God do things, nothing to Him. It opened up my understanding. I wanted more than ever to cease from my own works. I wanted to see God do things that was so clearly God that no one had any doubt that it was God. So they could be drawn to Him. So I came back with a renewed vision to somehow get out of the way. Somehow have God come. I listened to a sermon when I was witnessing one time on a street corner, watching thousands of souls go to a fair, standing on a street corner with a Bible as a stand. Listen to a sermon by Lanny about Savonarola. Nearly killed me. Seen them all walking to hell. And I didn't have it within me. I didn't have what I needed to somehow call these men to repentance. To call these people to God. I didn't have it. I just sat there. Didn't have it. Listening to this man in the 1300s pray night after night, all by himself, knowing nothing about a demon, nothing about the Holy Ghost, knowing nothing, just wanting to do something for God. Night after night, 9 years before God met him. I said, God, that's the way. There's never been any other way. God, I'm quitting this ministry. I'm quitting. So I told my wife, I'm quitting. Evangelist Baloney, minister of God, you can take my papers. Where's God? Where's God? So you win some souls. Where's God? I forget it. I thought you're supposed to pray 7 days and 7 nights to get the Holy Ghost before you get out in the ministry. What's happened to the church? How far have we fallen? Now we get right into the ministry. We don't wait 7 days and 7 nights, much less 9 years. But He was talking to me, you know. He'll talk to you. He talks to you. That tore me up. I said, what's your will? I'll stay, but how can it be your will? I'd have quit that fast. I was so close, and I'm still so close. If I knew a way where I could hide away with God every day, if it took it, that's what it would take. It's worth it. It's worth it. How can we go on powerless without Christ? I don't know how we can go on. I never heard of such a thing. It was never meant to be. But I was torn up. I was over at Craig's house one night. And I was going over. He was on vacation, so I was following up on his souls. When I'm on vacation, he follows up on my souls, if you know what I mean. We check back, see how everybody's doing. So what I wanted to do is that there was a breakdown in the ministry, and I was taking all the 9 months of companions, and I wanted to find out. I won't even tell you what I found out. The Lord will tell you. The Lord will tell you. He'll tell you. It'll hurt when he tells you. But oh, you'll thank God when he tells you the truth. God's going to come and tell the truth. He's going to tell you the truth. And you're going to be able to receive it. That's the beautiful thing about it. And we're going to be different when he comes. Thank God. Anyway, I was just sitting there in that room. And I was almost done. And all of a sudden, I began to feel strangeness. Real strangeness. So I just sat there at the desk, and all of a sudden, he wanted to talk to me. Just like he just wanted to talk to me. And it was like gripped me. So I just stopped everything, and I picked up the word. And it was kind of a frantic thing. He wanted to talk to me. And he really wanted to talk to me. So I just opened up the word and was looking. All of a sudden, it came in this chapter. And I read the verse. Afterward, he brought me to the gate. Even the gate that looketh toward the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. And his voice was like a noise of many waters. And the earth shined with his glory. And it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the vision that I saw when I came to destroy the city. And the visions were like the visions that I saw by the river Kibar, and I fell on my face. And the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate, whose prospect is toward the east. And so the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of Yahweh filled the house. And I read this thing, and all of a sudden, the presence of God began to come upon me. I never had it come on me like that before. And the first thing I did when it began to come, I began to feel it's the beginning, the fringes of it. And I just stood there like this. Ah! I just shook my head back and forth. Ah! I didn't even know how to react in the presence. I didn't know what to do. And all of a sudden, through the door, this presence began to come in the door. And I was at the desk, you know. And all of a sudden, I was aware of the presence. And I knew it was God. I knew it was God. And I didn't know what to do. And I was afraid. I was afraid. I was afraid. I was afraid. And I didn't know what to do. And I kept moving closer. And I wouldn't dare open my mouth. I didn't dare open my mouth. I wouldn't open my mouth. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't go back that way. It was coming that way. I wanted to go somewhere. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't go through the wall. It wasn't my house. I really thought I don't know what to do. But where do he come? Oh, where did he come? Oh, where did he come? Where did he come? That brother was right. The Redeemer is coming to Zion. He's going to turn ungodliness from Jacob. He's coming a fire before him, roaring out of Zion. He's coming. God is coming to his church. We talk about a move of the Spirit. He's the next move of the Spirit. He's going to come himself. I mean, the actual presence of God is going to come into the church. He's going to come right into the church. Right in. Suddenly. Just like that. Just like that. He'll just come. He'll just come. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. So anyway, I just figured I better get on the ground. Now, I knew nothing in my life really that was really bad sin at that time. He wasn't doing anything really that I really thought. There's no way. Everything was pretty good, in order. I mean that. But I was afraid in that presence. So I just got on my knees, and I kind of just took the Bible with me, kind of slipped down together, you know. And I just waited. It kept coming closer. And all of a sudden, the consciousness, I am loved. I am loved. I just knew that. And it was like, that helped. That helped. So we're talking about God. We're talking about God. He's so different than us. So he comes. So when I felt that, it didn't change anything. It didn't change anything. He just kept right on coming. And it was just all of a sudden he was over me. I was so sorry. I was so ashamed. I felt so bad in that presence. I felt I'd slighted him. I saw me. I never saw a demon. It never entered my mind in that presence. I never looked for any help. It was him and me. And all that I was aware of was him. He was holy. He was so holy. He was just so holy. And I was not. I was not. And it was just like he just went through my life. You remember in the garden? You remember in the garden? God said, first the serpent, then Eve. And then he looked right at Adam and he said, you. You. You see, it's not the devil. It's not the devil. It is not the devil. It is not the devil. And after he gets through judging the demons, we're still the same. A lot of us, aren't we? A lot of us, aren't we? And then after he deals with the Eve and what we listen to and all the questionings and what we think, but then he comes right back to you and right to me. And it's just all like Nathan all over again, saying, thou art the man. And all as I saw in that presence was my sins. I never thought of a demon. I never saw the problem my daddy had when I was 8 years old. To let this spirit in or that spirit in. I never even thought in those realms. That was like walking on a Damascus road in the noonday and having the light come on. All as I saw was in his light. And I found that I could repent. I could repent in that presence. I repented. And I repented. And I repented. And I was willing. And God caused me to understand that if there's any willingness in anybody in this church, that when his presence comes, he's not going to. But you're going to fear. And the fear of God's going to come all over you. And you know what? You can't prepare for it. No matter how good you get and how holy you get, and how much we pray, and how much we get our feet moving tonight. When his presence comes, we're going to have a new conception of God. We're going to have a brand new understanding of God. That he is something so far out of this world. The otherness, they say, of God. The mysterious, awesome, fearful Shekinah of God. It's a strange, mysterious thing, that presence. But anyway, I stayed there for quite a while. I couldn't speak. I couldn't cry. I couldn't really do anything. He did all the talking. He did all the talking. I still was afraid to open my mouth. So kind of after a while, I got up, and I went back, and I read the rest of the chapter. And God showed me what's going to happen and who's going to be in that company of people in the end time. And the thing that he wants you and I to understand about our lives and about where we're going, to set our mind a certain way. Let me read a scripture in Genesis 28. I won't be too long tonight. Genesis 28. Just to give you another from the scriptures of what it's like. See, the glory of God himself is going to make us willing. For his name's sake alone, he's going to make us willing. We have failed God. We have not been faithful as a church. God will tell us that when he comes. I have nothing to lose because I love my church, but I lie not. No church, no man in that presence will have anything to say. There will be no pride, no arrogance, no boasting, no commendation. He'll deal with what he has to deal with to make us what we need to be. And we'll be it, and we'll give him all the glory. Do you ever wonder how we're going to give him all the glory? When his glory comes and sanctifies his house. When the glory of God himself sanctifies the tabernacle. See, his presence is going to come in. You read it in every revival. Study revivals. When his presence comes, talk about the reformation of life. The reformation of life at the presence of God. When God has come, I've got a story about three little boys under 12 who prayed every morning on the edge of a wilderness, and revival fell on a colony of 130 missionary sons. Three boys under 12. Early in the morning. And when God came, they confessed sin, honored God, witnessed like crazy, were absolutely transformed by that presence. See, God let me know that that is what's going to do it. And that we need to seek that. We need to seek him coming. Because we don't have a chance. We don't have a chance. Unless he comes. See, it's a revelation. But it's going to happen because he's going to come. See, we don't have a chance. We can't do it. We brought forth wind. We brought forth wind. Are you saying we're not a good church? We're a good church. I love my church. But in that presence, we're going to go down. Everybody's going down. The ministers are going to go down first. All of us are going to go down. And we're going to come up again in the presence of God. Read this. Genesis 28. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and he went toward Haran. He went to sleep one night on a stone. That's the story. He went to bed. God appeared to him suddenly, out of nowhere. He just appeared. Listen to what Jacob said in verse 16. And look what happened to him. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep. And when God comes, we're going to awake out of our sleep. Because we're sleeping, church. Do you know that? Community Chapel, you're a sleeping church. You're going to see that in his presence. Now, that's you and me. He showed me I was sleeping too, remember. Listen to what he says. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. The Lord is in this place. I didn't know it. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place. He was afraid. It was a different presence. Every time the glory and the presence of God came to a man, he was afraid. Every one of them went down. Every one of them got Coney could come up by God. No one danced in that presence. No one could sing in that presence. No one could pray in that presence. God was everything. All the speaker, the audience, the author, the finisher of all that took place in that appointment. And men gazed upon God in a way that absolutely transformed their life. Listen to him. How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. Verse 20. And Jacob vowed a vow. And he vowed a vow. When the presence of God comes, you have trouble vowing vows. See, it's not a thing to scare you into. You know why? Because you couldn't vow a vow tonight and keep it all the way. The way you're going to keep it then. See, God told me when this happened that I'm to tell you that he's coming and that I'm to call you to prayer for the coming manifestation of God's presence in this church. And that I'm to tell you from him that the will of the Lord God Almighty to this for this body right now, at least what he told me, is that everyone in this place is to begin to look toward the east for the glory of God to come. And to begin to break up your heart and to begin to seek God like you've never sought God before for him to come to you. Because he's going to come. And a lot of what's going to happen is going to be determined by whether or not you will hear tonight's word. I'll tell you something the Lord showed me too. It might be hard to stomach. Remember when the Lord spoke from heaven last year through Ron Lowry? It was God. That was God that spoke. Remember that when he said that he gave this city to us? He gave the city of Seattle to us? How many remember that? How many feel that was God speaking? Do you know why we don't have the city? He'll tell you when he comes. It's you. That's me. It's not the devil. It's not the devil. It's going to be, we're going to see that we really don't care for souls. We're going to see that. But I don't want to hear that. That's why he'll tell you. Because when he tells you, there's such hope. And you'll repent. And you'll weep. You'll weep. You'll weep. Demons of fear of witnessing, nothing in that presence. When the presence of God came upon children in China, they could have witnessed to the emperor and all the dragons in hell. See, God doesn't want us to be caught up and glorify the devil anymore. Glorify the devil. God wants us to seek him, to manifest himself. Instead of running around trying to find out what the devil's manifesting himself. You understand? God wants us to seek him that he can be who he is. And the devil will be nothing before him. When Jesus came on the scene, the devils ran to him. Are you going to throw me into the pit? They didn't even run from him. They didn't even try to hide. They ran right to him. Is it time? When the Holy One comes, everything's going to go right to him. Everything's going to come right up. Everything's going to come right out in the open. Everything's going to be laid naked. All of us are going to be laid naked before God. Every one of us. And you know what? God is going to visit us, and we are going to repent, confess our sins, see our shortcomings, take the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, and we're going to rise up a completely new people, but not before. But not before. And that's what he showed me. Unless he comes, we're doomed. You believe that? So he showed me that. I said this one time. He showed me that when he speaks from heaven, he showed me this, and he showed it to me in Hawaii to prove it to me. Then he dealt with me. He showed me why I hadn't done it. He showed me that when I speak from heaven to a people, the number one thing I want them to do is to pray it in. And seek my face with all their heart that I might do it. And as they seek my face with all their heart, I will do in him and in her and in them and in all of us what I need to do to carry out what I said. But if my people don't come unto me, but they do it in themselves, or take another method, or don't believe the one I've ordained in the word, which is to wait until they're endued, and wait until I come, and wait until I appear, nothing gets done. See, it's a revelation. I saw that in Hawaii. He'd say something to me, I wouldn't do anything. I'd pray, God would do this, he'd show what to do and everything. He showed me, you're operating, you're living in your own strength, Mr. Thurner, all the time. But that's the last thing we do. But it's the first thing he's asked. And that's the trouble. That's the trouble. Let's just read Ezekiel. See, it's our fault that we don't have the city. It's our fault. That's the truth. It's our fault. If we tonight sought God and prayed that God, if all these people would pray, God, you said we can have Seattle, then all of us, O God, come before you, and we will seek thy face, O God, in heaven. And we will pray, O God, we are so privileged that you would come down and give us such a promise, that you would come down out of heaven and you would speak to our hearts and say, oh, I want to give this to you. We, whatever you want us to do, O Lord, whatever you want, O God, whatever you want, O God, you just do it, Lord. Raise up whoever you want. Move, O God. Yes, we seek you, Lord. It's going to take you, O God. We are serious about what you told us, Lord. We really care about what you told us, Lord. We are so happy, O God, that you would do this. Oh, we want to be faithful to you, O God. I never heard that kind of prayer. That's why we don't have a city. See, God, when he comes, he's going to show us that. In a way where we can be different. In a way where we can be different. People say, brother, you shouldn't talk like that. We're getting condemned. The truth never condemns. We shouldn't fear condemnation. We should fear God. What do we fear condemnation for? We should fear God. We should say, God, get a hold of my life. I trust you. You can do whatever you want. Oh, God, I'm going to seek your face. The brother's giving hope. He said you loved him before he came. He's still here tonight. I'm still here. He came a little again last night. I'm still here. There was a story by a man named Douglas Brown. He was a pastor in London. Had a large church. He was a man of God. He was used of God. Had a powerful ministry. Very successful man of God. Began to want more of God. And that's where it begins. He just began to want more of God. Then he found out that he wanted more of God, but he wasn't willing to have more of God. This was a man of God. So we'll pick on Douglas Brown. And Douglas Brown said, that was rather disconcerting to me to see myself in that light. He said, he came to the East Gate. He started looking out toward the East. It bothered him. He said, 4 months later, after a harrowing experience, I lay at the foot of the cross, broken. So it took God 4 months to get him to say two words, Lord, anything. Lord. God's going to have to come to get us to say, Lord, anything. I wouldn't dare ask you, how many tonight would say, Lord, anything? Everyone stands up on his feet. Think about these things. We need to be more honest in the presence of God when we raise our hands, when we stand up. Who are you walking before in this church? You mean to tell me everybody's praying, Lord, anything? You mean I am? We all stand up. How many are going to go with me? How many are going to do this, Pastor S? 2,000 people stand up. I'd rather look like a fool in the eyes of everybody here than stand up and lie to God. I think we should let God be true. Let him be true. Forget what every other man thinks. I think we need to be honest before God. I think we just need, if we're not there, I think we need to admit we're not there. I don't write your paycheck. I'm nobody. You're nobody. What are you worried about somebody else for? What is this fear of man? We need the fear of God. If you're not willing, don't get up. And if somebody says to you, why aren't you willing? Go from there. Don't walk before man. That hurts God. He knows you're needy. He knows you're weak. He has compassion on us. He didn't come and slap me all over the room. He said he loved me. But he loves the souls, and he loves his church, and he can't let me be anymore what I am. I'm hurting him. I'm hurting his cause. Ezekiel 43. Verse 7. And he said unto me, Son of man, this is what I read. Son of man, the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. And my holy name shall the house of Israel no more defile. God's coming to end defilement. He's going to end it. God says, the house of Israel, my holy name, they will no more defile. And his glory is going to come, and he's going to stop it. Neither they, nor their kings by their whoredom, nor by the carcasses of their kings in their high places. See, they set up these temples to dead idols. And the temples were right next to the temple of Yahweh. And the posts of the temple to the devil was touching the post of the temple of Yahweh. And the threshold of the temple to idols, idolatry, was right next to God's holy temple. So God says, in their setting of their threshold by my thresholds, we don't even know we're doing that. That's what he showed me. Do you know when I'm dancing before the Lord? You know, there are temples to idols. There are attitudes. There are things that we have that we worship, and it's mixed right in with our worship to God. And God says, no more. No more. I'm going to come put an end to that. I'm going to cleanse my house. I'm going to purge my house. I'm going to wash away all the filth and all that is sin, and they that escape shall be called holy. What God says. And the wall between me and them. There's a wall between me and them. They have even defiled my holy name by the abominations that they have committed. Wherefore I have consumed them in mine anger. Now let them put away their whoredom and the carcasses of their kings far from me, and I will dwell in the midst of them forever. So when I read that, that was right after I had that experience. And I said, oh, that's what he was doing. Oh, that's what that presence is going to come right into the church. And his very presence, the Redeemer, is really going to come in his glory to his church. Himself, the Holy Spirit, in a way like we have never, ever met him. And he is going to cause us and show us and make the discernment between evil and good and right and wrong and holy and unholy. You don't see any of that out in the church world. There's one thing that grieves God's heart, that his ministers don't get up and make a difference between the clean and the unclean. They fear the people too much. They fear the people. They don't want to tell the people the truth. Haven't been with God, that's why they don't tell the people. You know why they haven't told the people the truth? Because they haven't been with God. Men that have never been with God, they can't tell people the truth. Because they haven't been with God. But when you're with God, he tells you the truth, and you can tell anybody the truth, the way he told you, in his spirit, the way he gave it. Okay, listen. Then he's verse 10. Thou, son of man, show the house. And God's caused me to realize that he was going to raise up a new breed of man of God. That God was going to begin to bring men by his spirit who would look toward the east. And I'll explain that in a minute. He was going to bring them, verse 5, they took me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of Yahweh filled the house. And I heard him speaking unto me out of the house. And the man that measures the temple stood by him. See, God is looking for men that he can bring into the inner court and that he can speak to. And those are the only men that can deliver this message that he's going to talk about later on. The only men. See, God is going to bring judgment to the house of God. And God is going to judge his saints. And just like in Psalm 50, he says there's many things the saints think are all right. They thought I was altogether like unto them because I kept silent. But then he said, He said, consider these things lest I tear you in pieces. God said that. That's not the love of God, brother. That is the love of God. Like you have never realized. The love of God chastises his children. The love of God brings us into truth and peace and righteousness. It's the love of God. Verse 10. A new breed of men of God are going to be anointed by the Holy Ghost. There's a few now. They're going to preach a new message to the church. A brand new message, although it's the old one. But it's going to come with a new anointing and a new emphasis, especially in the latter day. And many are going to call those men legalists, men who bring the law up again. They're going to call them legalists. They're going to be men that seek the face of God. Day and night, tears will be their portion. And they're going to be called fanatics and legalists, full of spiritual pride. They're going to be burdened and they're going to be grieved. For the affliction of Joseph, and they're going to be grieved because others are not. And they're going to seek the face of God. And throughout the world, these people are now seeking the face of God. And God's going to tap them, and he's going to anoint them, and he's going to set them up to bring his spirit and his word in such a way to purify and show the difference so that his people can come into the bride. The terms bride and man-child are not going to be light things we say. We're going to have complete understanding of what it means. God's going to raise up a new breed of man. This body is called as a body. God gave me a message 2 years ago called the 401st prophet. And God let me know then that this whole body was called to be the 401st prophet. God showed me years ago that the entire eldership, showed me this one time, that the entire eldership was going to be a red hot ball of intercession. That God was going to speak from a high place to them and reveal to them his mind and heart concerning his church and energize them by his spirit to pray in and pray for and pray through and to bring. God showed me that. It's going to happen. That's going to happen. We're going to be a different people when he comes. Verse 10, thou son of man, show the house to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. And if they be ashamed of all that they have done, show them the form of the house, and the fashion thereof, and the goings out thereof, and the comings in thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the ordinances thereof, and all the forms thereof. Listen to this. And all the laws thereof, and write it in their sight, that they may keep the whole form thereof, and all the ordinances thereof, and do them. Legalism. 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 Because of what happened in this church a number of years back, the devil, through fear of legalism, a fear of ever being legalistic, a fear in some people's minds, twisted to the other side, not negating the love and the mercy and the compassion, the long-suffering of God. That man said after 4 months, and we can all say tonight, the infinite patience of God got me through it. After 4 months, Lord, anything, the infinite patience of God. It was the patience of God. The long-suffering of the Lord is salvation, but he's going to make an end soon. This is the law of the house. This is the only law of God's end time church. This is the only thing he wants you to think about is end time church. Upon the top of the mountain, the whole limit thereof, round about shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. That word most holy is the word that was used for the holy of holies. And that's the thing that hit me that night. I realized that every single Christian in the Latter-day Church was going to be the walking holy of holies. The Shekinah was in there. Not too many people have been in there. The entire church that's his bride will be the holy of holies. The whole temple. Now that's an unbelievable statement for God to make. Now, he said the law of the house isn't prosperity. The law of the house isn't happiness. The law of the house is not feelings. Didn't even say the law of the house is the love of God. Didn't even say the law of the house is mercy. Didn't say that. It said the law of the house, my house, is going to have one characteristic, and that is it's going to be the holy of holies. And I am going to come down into my church, the human beings. That's where that song that Ellen sang, and the temple. God's Shekinah glory, can you believe this, is going to come right into my being. Right into your being. The whole church of Jesus Christ is going to be the holy of holies. Set on a hill. Isaiah, I'm almost done. So from that night on, priorities change. Prerogatives change. I mean, everything, you know what holiness is? Holiness is separation from, dedication to, and being filled with God himself. It's to separate yourself from everything by your will. Set your will to be separated from everything that is unlike him. And then dedicate your whole self, everything in your body, your time, your home, your marriage, your children, your job, tongue, ears, everything you do, whatever comes in, whatever goes out, everything. Every single thing, devote it to Jesus. Remember, Jesus is the one that came from the east. Devote it to Jesus. And then be filled with God. That's holiness. Now, if we all started tonight to get holy, we wouldn't be able to do it. We wouldn't be able to do it. Holiness is God himself, his presence. And God is going to sanctify the house and make holy the house through his Holy Spirit in a way like never before. Let me just read this and close. Now, there are many other definitions for holiness, but that's just kind of a basic one. Now, we are righteous in Christ. But what he's talking about is something more. And only he can bring about that something more. But there's one thing we need to do, and I'm going to leave you with tonight. That's his will for our lives. Chapter 4, verse 2 to 4. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof, by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion, upon her assemblies, a cloud and a smoke by day, and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge. and for a covert from storm and from rain. That's going to happen. And I close with this one verse. Verse 1. The gate that looketh toward the east. Afterward he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh toward the east. This was the beginning of the visitation of God to his soul. God is calling us to come to the gate that looketh toward the east. Now what's that? The word looketh means to face, and the east is where he's coming from. And that's the way he's coming. Just his presence. Now there'll be great joy. We'll really be on the other side of Jordan too when that's over with. I imagine there's going to be joy. I mean, we're going to be on the other side of Jordan. We're going to get over Jordan. There's going to be joy. There's going to be dancing. There's going to be rejoicing. There's going to be such a presence and glory of God, of victory, and you name it. It's going to be marvelous. But it's never going to be quite like that until he comes and deals with us quite like that. The gate, it just seems that the place where you come in and the place where God is calling our body, like Brother shared his prayer, specific, prevailing, importunate, unceasing, until we receive prayer. Man, woman, and child. Elder, deacon, minister, teacher, prophet, apostle, Sunday school teacher. Everyone. To seek, to face your whole life with the concept of his coming soon. And to begin to set time aside. Set time aside. The reason why people can't set time aside is because they don't understand that they have to set time aside. That God is going to really come. And that he is waiting for you to care if he comes or not. I don't think we want to be the church we are tonight. I don't think so. I don't think we want to have no power, lack of the gifts. I don't think we want to let the rest of the church world go without Christ in a way we feel they need to have Christ, maybe. I don't think we want to let the world go to hell. And if everybody said, well, you want to stand up, we'd all stand up, but we won't pray. Point blank, we won't seek his face. And that's the only way that God has said it to come. You say, brother, well, you can't make me do it. You can't force the people into it. You can't whip them into it. I'm not. But you make me feel rotten. You want the glory. Seek it. We have a prayer meeting in the mornings. A couple of men go to the prayer meeting. About 15 men go to prayer meeting now. You can come to that prayer meeting. People have called us legalists for having a prayer meeting at 5 o'clock in the morning. Do you know that? Some of you have called me a legalist for praying. I got enough problems in life, you know. I'm trying to overcome them. I'm not a legalist. I want the glory of God. It's the only time I can pray. Sorry. How about noon? How about 10 at night? That's not the law, brother. One brother said, well, I tried that once before. A minister told me this. I tried that once before, but it's, you know, it's a work of the flesh. No, it's not. It's hard on the flesh. It's a desire of the heart, but it's hard on the flesh. It's not a work of the flesh. You try it. Pray one time, you know, do it any time you want. Pray 3 4 hours. Pray and spend a night in prayer. Just spend a night in prayer. About 2 or 3 hours, things get real real, you know. Things get real real. Everybody's in bed and you know it. You can see your wife in bed. Your kids are in bed. Cinnamon twirlies are on the stove, you know. You know, a nice cold glass of milk would be great right now. It's cold outside and you got a cold. And you don't get away with this one. Where's the rest of the church? Boy, this is what this church needs, a good prayer meeting. You know. You went through that for a while, and God works you over. So what are you talking about? First time you've showed up in 25 years, and you're getting mad at the whole world. Just pray, will you? I'm serious. Shall I say I speak from experience? Maybe not the all night. Huh? Maybe just what he said. Try it. See, that's the kind of prayer that brought a revival. Do you want a revival? Barbara said, I don't know what it's going to take. Marvin said, I don't know what it's going to take. I know what it's going to take. Plow up your hearts and seek the Lord until. That's what it's going to take. But I teach in Bible college. Fine. But I work two jobs. So do I. But fine. But I just want to dance before the Lord. So do I. And I love it. And I love feeling Jesus. But that's not revival for others. And we got to spend some time in the gap. Who is the man God brought this to? The man who heard this. I can't find a man to make up the hedge, Ezekiel. I'm going to destroy the whole land. I can't find one man in this whole nation that'll pray. But I got millions that'll preach. Radio, television, programs by the thousands. Articles going out every week. Full gospel businessmen conventions. I go to very few of them. Exactly zero. I'd rather spend my time seeking God. They're not going anywhere fast. No one's going anywhere fast unless we all seek God. Why is Brother Swaggart a little bit different in this ministry? He's been praying. Brother Wilkerson, he's been praying. You know what he said when God visited him? He said, I'm going to find a room somewhere and repent for 5 months. I heard that. I went, boy, that's a lot of repentance for 5 months. Wow. When I was out around the country, that man had the best ministry, so to speak, of the Spirit that I saw. And he gets up saying God showed him he was nothing. God showed him his motives were bad. He said, I'm closing down. You know, that's why I told him, well, I want to close down. I don't want to go out in the streets anymore. I want to close down. I'll close down and seek God until God does something with this boy. You know, it's an insult, evangelist. That's an insult. That's not a Holy Ghost evangelist in my book. So I don't consider myself a Holy Ghost evangelist. And I'm not going to until the Holy Ghost is with me. I'm not a quarter way by titles. Paper burns. Paper burns. God wants you to go to the East Gate. Excuses? Sure. He's coming. I love you. You know I love you. I've been around a long time here. You know I love you. You know I'm your brother. You know I'm your brother. I'm right with you. But I'm going to tell the truth. I don't really care what anybody thinks. I really don't. I don't care. See, I want to see the glory of God in my church. I want to see Jesus sweep through my church. When I bring people to my church, I want to say God is there. I can't say that now. You can't say that. I cannot say that all the time the way I want to say it. So you come to my church, God himself is in the midst. You're going to come face to face with the awesome presence of God. You're going to know him like you've never known him before. The almighty eternal God has come down and has made his abode in our midst. Every song glorifies Jesus. Every life is the same before the dance, after the dance, before the song, after the song, before the sermon, after the sermon. We're not a people that want to just step into the anointing and preach beyond ourselves. We want to be what we preach. We want to be what we preach. We're going to seek God, God's way. We are hungry for God. We are seeking God. That's what I'm going to tell a guy. Really? I cannot say that. And don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me. I'm with you and you're with me. And we fall or rise together. But let's be honest. Let's be honest before God. Now, if that's the case, then let's all of us make this the church where God visits. I believe God's going to visit the Northwest. I believe he's going to visit right here. I've always believed that. That's why I'm here. But let's be the church. Let's seek God for it. Let's pray. Start other prayer meetings. I have no problem with a 24-hour-a-day prayer meeting. That's not legalism. That's not works. That's not trying to earn enough prayer. You know, that's not it. That is all we can do when we're filled with desire to get God. There's no other way to do it but keep praying and keep praying and keep praying and keep praying and keep seeking and say what a brother said the other day when the prayer meeting. He said, brother, what is wrong with me? I'll tell you, it was Tom Alberts. This is what Tom said. You know, he said, brother, I don't know. He said, I lay my hands on a man in the name of Jesus, and he doesn't get healed. What's the problem? What is the problem with me? What is it? What is it? I mean, where's the glory of God? Where's the power of God? Where's God? Where is God? See, the devil tried to deceive us, think we got a whole lot of God. I want to put that one down tonight. Okay? He's got the right idea. I need God. I don't have God. I'm going to seek God. What is the problem, Lord? What? Tell me what's wrong with me. That's what he's praying now. What's wrong? Is there something right or wrong? I don't know what it is. I'm not going to talk. Well, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is with me. He said, I asked him, has God told him yet? No. So what do you do? He ain't told me. I'll just wait. Tell me, oh God. You can be waiting until 1995. You got to go to God and tell God you really care why you're the way you are. You got to seek God. God, why? Why? He might not answer you for a while. Well, hey, what is this? I've been praying 3 hours a day. What is this? God is calling us to seek his face. Let's stand. God wants to bring us to the gate that looketh to the east. I'm just going to pray that God would bring us to the gate that looketh to the east. And I'm going to pray that God would visit our church and that he would have his way in our lives. That we could be the people of God that God has called us to be. See, I am sold out to the vision that God gave my pastor. Sold out. Everything in our lives, I told you, is sold out to what God has given this man. I don't think we should be looking to this man or some other man to do your job. You and I need to begin to say, God, I want to be a part of this plan. And you're going to have to put everything you got into it. And it's not going to be easy, and you're going to walk it alone. But you're going to meet God. You're going to meet God. And God will tell you if he has to send an ash your way. God met me last night. You know how he did? He sent a sinner my way. Balaam's ass. Through the mouth of a sinner, God put his finger on an area of my life. I prayed that very day, Lord, show me your will. And God sent a sinner up to me, and he spoke eloquently from the scriptures. God will be faithful. But I think we need to commit ourselves to what God has given this man, what God has given Mr. Hicks. These men have given their lives for a vision, and they'll give it more. But what about you and I? What about you and I? Do we care to bring God's truth into the earth? Do we care? Do we care about the church? We had 150 companions one time. Take care of souls. We got 9 now. Do we care about souls? Do we care? Do we really care? Forget your roofing job. And forget your easy chair and kick the Seahawks out the window and burn your Seattle Times and forget about your excursions except into the Holy Ghost. Start meaning business with God. And if you can't mean business with God, begin to ask God to come and visit you, and he will mean business with us and get us there. But Lord, I just pray tonight, God, that you would just minister to us, oh God, that you would call us by your Spirit. Father in heaven, that you would witness this word in the hearts of believers. Lord, that you would witness those things, oh God, that to be witnessed, that we might be the people of God that you've called us to be. God, that we might have that prayer upon our lips, that you would rend the heavens. My God, that 5 in the morning or 10 at night or 2 in the morning or 12 in noon time would not be too much for you to ask us, oh God. Lord, if you would ask us to take some time aside in our family and pray for revival, pray for God to come to our body, oh God, we would not think it too much, oh God. Lord, I just pray that you would call, give us the spirit of grace, prayer and supplication this hour. Lord God Almighty, you are greater than every devil. Lord, we set our will towards the holy things of God. God, and we learn to lean upon the Holy Ghost. God, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We shall tread upon serpents and scorpions. We shall not be bound by devils, O God. We are thy church, O God. Lord, we're not going to spend our life, O God, looking for every devil, my God, except under the anointing. But, oh God, we're going to seek thy face also, that you would come in great power and glory and majesty, that you would rout out the devil in our lives, that you would bring us to repentance and godly soul. Oh God, the soul that repents fully and cleanly, we might never, ever, ever do it again. Oh, bring us to a morning, oh God, a contrition of sin. Oh God, cause us to feel ashamed for our iniquities. My God, we might be purged, we might have the joy of salvation. Father in heaven, I ask you, Lord, to bear witness to these thy church, these thy children, these my brethren. Lord God Almighty, that there might be something born tonight, that this church would look toward the east and the coming glory of God, that we might be what you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.